Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. And welcome to Bellevue to Church on this rainy day. On the back are the announcements, and you can read those if you will. I noticed in my friend Mildred Scott that we prayed for, she did pass away. And I'm very sorry about that. Okay. Are there any announcements that are not on the back of bulletins? If not, please join me in the affirmation of faith. We who are gathered
at Bellevue Christian Church confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and proclaim Him Lord and Savior. We believe the mission of Bellevue Christian Church is to worship God by gathering weekly around the Lord's table and giving ourselves to Christian unity, to seek to know God and to make God known through study and teaching of the Scriptures, and to create a loving faith community that invites and cares for all of God's people.
Please stand for the call. Hebrews 11:23.
Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command.
Shall be, the world without end.
It's a privilege to be here, a privilege to be able to call on you and to know that you care for us. We've mentioned many folks, Lord, who have sicknesses and many losses, and we just pray for you to give comfort, peace, and healing in all those situations. And we seek to honor you today. Thank you. You invited us to come directly to you. We don't need to go through anyone else, just through our Savior Jesus, who taught us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, we'll continue with our communion. Were you there?
Oh,
When Jesus met with his disciples, it always amazes me, it was a smaller group than what we have here. Sometimes I think we tend to measure things by size instead of the purpose of why we're here. And So a small group met with him, and he introduced this thought to them. He said, "This bread that you eat, this is my body." How strange that must have seemed to them at first. But he said, "When you partake of this, remember me." And so we look back and we remember him as we partake. In like manner, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. It's for the remission of your sins." We remember him. Thanks be to Christ for the word of God
and the gospel of salvation.
Amen. At this time, we'll pray for the offering. We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that you've given to us. And now that we have an opportunity to give back for your purposes, just use us and use this for your glory. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you.
anyone have a script? At this time, we're going to let you know of leaders who will be serving, and would like for all of these who are present to just come and stand up front. That would be Marie Bell, and she is going to be serving as president of the board. Vice President Ernie Riley, Secretary Marcia Clemens, and actually, Ernie is also going to be the treasurer, and Doc Carter, assistant, Deacons, Margot Barlow, Kathy Pierce, who's in Florida, good place to be, Elder Marsha. So, I ask these who are serving, do you this day acknowledge yourself a faithful believer and follower of Jesus Christ?
I do.
Will you devote yourself to the service of God by continuing to learn from God's Word and share it with others?
I will.
Will you live so that your life will be a testimony of your faith in Jesus Christ?
I will.
Will you strive for Christian unity?
I will.
Will you do all in your power to be responsible to the task for which you've been chosen?
I will.
And then, for everyone else, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, rejoice that God provides laborers for the vineyards. Will you do all you can to assist and encourage them in the responsibilities to which they have been called, giving them your cooperation, your counsel, your prayer?
We will.
Let me have a prayer. Father, we come to you thanking you for these who are willing to serve. And we pray special blessings upon them because there's just a lot of behind the scenes things that these folks do that they commit to. So we thank you for their service, for their dedication. In Christ's name, amen.
The scripture reading this morning is Exodus 2:1-10. Please turn in your Bibles if you can. My life is so good. Okay. Now, a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of a Hebrew baby," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. And the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." Thank you, Lord, for your word.
What makes a person a leader?
Yeah.
Is it what we just did? We just named somebody elder, deacon, treasurer, secretary, all that. Does it make them a leader because of a title? No, not because of a title. Matter of fact, you can have degrees and not be a leader. I have known teachers who have degrees in education who couldn't teach out of a paper bag. You know, I mean, there's in every field, preachers who can't preach and teachers who can't teach and doctors who can't talk. You know, they're just, you know, they may have degrees and titles and all this, but that doesn't really make them the leader or whatever role it is that they have. It's backed up by what their gifts are, what their dedication is to. So when we think of a person who says, "Well, I'm a leader," Rick Warren put in a sentence, the best I ever heard. If a person says, "I'm a leader," and no one is following them, they're just taking a walk. So a leader is somebody who has some qualities and characteristics and certainly dedication. Now, I'm going to look at a passage that you might think at first is a strange passage to look at the DNA of a leader. It's a passage about Moses, but it's not as much about Moses as it is his parents. And we look here in chapter 2, and we see when Moses was born. But if we read through all of chapter 1, 100 years has passed. And you all, I'm not going to read chapter 1, but you can read it later. But you all remember what happened when Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers because they were so jealous. And then, when there was this famine in the land, all the brothers came before the prime minister in Egypt, not knowing it was their brother Joseph. And when they found out it was their brother Joseph, they were like, "Oh, we are done for. You know, this is not going to be good." Joseph gave them some land, and they thrived. And it says in chapter 1 that there were 70 descendants of Isaac or Jacob at the time. 70 descendants. But over the course of time of this 100 years, they thrived. They multiplied until there were more of them in Egypt than there were of the Egyptians. Then there was a king who's really feeling threatened by this, this Pharaoh, and he said, "We got to do something about this. They could overtake us." And so then he put taskmasters over them. He put them in slavery. And it didn't matter that they outnumbered them. He was in authority, and they had all these authorities over them. And so one of the things that he had commanded was that all male newborn babies would be killed. And the reason he wanted to do that was so that there wouldn't be these fighters and these who could serve in the military who would come against them. He's going to nip it in the bud. So then, we come to chapter 2, where we see that a man of the house of Levi, one of the sons of Jacob, he went and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. This was Moses. Now I think it's interesting, this next part. When she saw it was a beautiful child, well, I've never met a mother who didn't think it was a beautiful child. Now, I remember one of my college professors came for a revival meeting one time, and he was telling me, you know, there are some babies that are not really that pretty. And he said, now let me give you some advice. The way you deal with that is if you see a baby that's not pretty, you just say, my, that's a baby. But I've never seen a mother who didn't think her baby was beautiful. And so it says here, when she saw that she had a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. Now, how do you even hide a baby for 3 months? They didn't have walls like we do. You know, how do you hide a baby? How do you even hide the fact that, you know, you're going to give birth to a baby? I mean, I guess they could hide that, but it seems like somebody would be checking on, is it a male or is it a female that's born? So anyhow, this king thought he had that figured out, and he thought the midwives would be the ones. He ordered them that if they delivered male babies, they should be put in the river. Now, the midwives, we find there at the end of chapter 1, they disobeyed the king. And they told the king, well, the reason that we didn't is we got there at the house and they were already there. It's like these babies just popped out, you know. And so, anyhow, now then that presents a quandary. So we can get hung up on this thought and say, did God approve of them lying? Well, you know, I don't think we need to look at it from the angle of, does this tell us then that the end justifies the means? I think what it tells us is there is a higher law. And God says, do not kill. And so they could see that this was against God's law, and they didn't want to participate in this. So now you have the mother and the father of Moses. They were certainly people who had the characteristics of leadership. First of all, they made a decisive action. That's the D in the DNA. They made a decisive action. We are going to hide this baby. We don't care what happens to us. We don't care if they find out. Our goal is to protect this baby. And I think they even believed that this was a baby that God would use for greatness. So they made that decision, a decisive action. Now, all of us, in whatever role we are in, we have to make decisions every day. And it's one thing to make a decision with your mind, and another thing to put it into action. You know, a lot of times people will say, well, I've made a decision, I'm going to do this. And they don't do it. When it becomes a real decision, it's when you put some action to it. So anyhow, the parents of Moses, they made a decision, and they backed it up. They were going to hide this baby. But then we see, when she could no longer hide him, she had to do something else. And I call this the necessary sacrifice. I mean, she's going to put this baby in a basket, and then what are they going to do? Put that basket in the river. And what's really funny is She is actually obeying the king then, because king said put the babies in the river. She's putting her baby in the river. It's so funny how God just works this stuff. And so, anyhow, Miriam, his sister, is standing by watching what's going on and must have been one of the handmaidens of Pharaoh's daughter, because then she comes to Pharaoh's daughter who finds the baby, and Pharaoh's daughter says, this is a baby of the Hebrews. And it says, when Moses cried, she had compassion on him. I like that. She had compassion on him. And she thought, I'm not going to have this baby killed. So then Miriam, Moses' sister, says, would you like me to find someone among the Hebrews who could nurse him? She said, yes, that's good, and I'll pay for it. Oh, that's even a greater thing, how God works in this thing. So, guess who? She took Moses to. Of course, it was his birth mother. And so she had some time nurturing him and guiding him and bonding with him. Now, sometimes as leaders, we will have to make some sacrifices. On Christmas Eve, it was 3 a.m. I'm lying in bed. The neighbors had all kinds of guests over. They were sitting out in the car. The music was blaring so loud it vibrated our house. Wasn't my brightest moment. I walked out of my house in my PJs right over next door. Knocked on the windshield. They rolled the window down. They looked like they were so stoned. I said, your music is too loud. And then another one says, let's go in. You know, so they went in. Then everybody's telling me, you could have got killed. And I thought about that. Yes, I could. That was not a sacrifice. I was mad. But now, if you call me and there's some crisis that's going on and I'm needed, I'm not upset by that. I was upset with those neighbors. See, a leader, there's necessary sacrifices that we might make. See, those who are leaders, we should be here supporting the church. You know, we should be committed to it, to be examples to the flock. And there are times that we might have to make sacrifices, that we might have to step up and fill in on something. Thank you all very much. You all just really stepped up really nice to fill in. And that's what leaders do. And so we see that quality in the parents of Moses. But then behind all this was absolute faith. Absolute faith that they had that God was going to take care of the baby. And it was like they had to let go in order for the baby to have a chance to survive. And they had faith in God. I mean, can you imagine how hard that would have been? You know, for them to have had the baby for the few months, then to put him in a basket, and knowing that they wouldn't have much time with him. I mean, when my son and daughter-in-law had their first child, our first grandchild, it's like daughter-in-law was like, be careful. be careful. Look, you know, we've been down this road before, you know. But then after the second, third, and fourth one here. But can you imagine? Put them in a basket in the water, in the river. But God took care of him. And God raised up a great leader in Moses. This morning, you may say, well, I'm not a leader. My guess is you are. My guess is that we are in some way, whether it's parent, grandparent, great-grandparent, aunt, uncle, friend, you know, worker. You know, you might have people that work with. You are a leader. And one thing that we need to really be leaders about is we lead others by sharing our faith with them. This morning, our invitation hymn is softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. That word calling, I believe, is the ultimate thing that needs to be in a leader's life. If they are called for whatever task they have before them. Let's stand and let's sing this song softly. Thank you. we are just able to meet together. We rejoice with the fellowship that we can have. Most of all, that we can serve you. We pray your blessings on our leaders, that you would encourage when they need encouragement, that you would help them to know how appreciated they really are. And most of all, that you've called them to the work they do. So we just thank you for them. Thank you for your many blessings. And we continue to lift up those with prayer needs, and especially right now we lift up Dennis's family as they travel on this long trip.